Praise God. How many of you are alive? Raise your hand. All righty. Some of you still waiting to decide. Will y'all check some pulses right back in this area right here? Amen. Brother Billy, you didn't raise your hand. He might not have heard me. He's old like I am. But thank God. I'm glad you're here. Thank the Lord for you. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 John. Thank you, Miss Serena and the choir. That's wonderful. Amen. Boy, I can't. And that's going to be a great time, that fifth Sunday night sing with the families. We have some wonderful singers. I tell you, this church is just blessed. And you know, we might even do a church staff group. Amen. Amen. We might do. I wouldn't even suggest that if Brad wasn't on my side. Amen. Because I know me and I know Tim and Justin. Amen. And if Miss Trudy will help us, praise God, we'll have two good ones. And then we'll be the doo-wop people, me and the other guys. But we'll just see how that goes. But thank the Lord for you being here this morning. And God's so good to us, isn't He? Oh, listen, thank God. He is all you need. He's all you need. He's everything that you need. I want you to look in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 John. Now, we've not been doing expository messages on this necessarily. We're trying to glean some truth from it. And I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. We're going to go through the book of Romans sometime later, and that'll be more expository. But there's some things in here, and this kind of caught hold of my heart, and I wanted to share it with you. I've reading through some of the passages I dealt with last Sunday. Now, last Sunday morning, I preached to you on God is love. God is love. And thank God He is. The Bible doesn't say He loves, but He does love. He does love us, the Bible says. But in that particular passage, it said He is love. He is the personification. He, that is His essence, is love. And then last Sunday night, not only is God love, but then last Sunday night I preached on I am loved. And thank God because He is love, He loves us. Now I want to preach to you this morning on a different thought, kind of along that line, and that is God is love, I am loved, and I ought to love. The Bible said the Holy Ghost shall abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you have that love nature in you of God. And you ought to love things. You ought to love people. You ought to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. But I want to take a passage of Scripture. I'm going to deal with something a little bit different this morning. In chapter 3, look at verse number 11. And this is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. He said this, if you are saved, you love the brethren. And we ought not to love in tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And he says this, that whereby we know that we are in the truth and we assure our hearts before him. If you love, you have that love for God's people, for the brothers, sisters together. If you love the body of Christ, those who've been redeemed worldwide, then you have that because of the Holy Ghost of God in you, because the world hates Christ and hates everything that is identified with Christ. But you, as a Christian, ought to love. And if you name Christ, you ought to love. Will you bow with me right now? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blessed Holy Ghost of God on the choir this morning. Thank you for Brother Roland playing this morning.
Thank you, our Father, for the Serena and the special music. God, bless our heart. We do thank you for Justin and Heather and the children. Thank you for his life of yieldingness to you and service of youth and ministry to all the youth group and their family. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would bless them. Now, God, I ask you to speak to hearts. What a joyous privilege to be here in the house of God. Lord, thank you for our friends who are here gathered. I want to thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, I plead that blood over this building. God, I pray not one man or woman, boy or girl, would leave here lost. Those who join us by the means of internet and radio and other media, I pray, God, that this morning you'd speak to them. And I pray, God, that the presence and power of the Holy Ghost of God would be so real that those who know Christ will be blessed and encouraged, and those who don't know Christ would be drawn by your grace and saved for Jesus' sake. Now, help us now, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give special emphasis this morning to this passage of Scripture in verse number 17. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? God gave his only begotten Son that we might have everlasting life. God is a giver. God gives to us, the Bible said, freely all things to enjoy. The Bible said that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And the ultimate, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So as a believer who loves, we give. Now, most everybody in here needs money. Now, some of you don't need money. I can look at you and tell, boy, you're sitting on a wad right now this morning, praise God. And you're set for life. But most everybody else needs money. We not have love for money, but you have to pay the light bill. You have to pay the other expenses of your life. And God, that is set up that way. Now, the Bible said that if any man doesn't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. Bible teaches that a man ought to work and provide for his family. And so that's a biblical principle. It does teach us that we're to help people who have legitimate needs. It teaches us what to do about the widows and their specific description of widows biblically in the Bible. And it tells about how we have responsibility as a body of believers to help the widows and those who have special needs and to help people. You are so very gracious, this church, about that. You have been a blessing to thousands of people and to me and my family and to others. You are a loving, giving church, and thank God for that. I thank God for people giving to me. I say it, I'm humbled by it. I'm blessed by it. But just about everything I wear, somebody gave me. I mean, people give me things, and some of it's brand new. That's wonderful, and thank the Lord for it. But people give me things that have belonged to family members. And I'm not ashamed to wear that. I'm not too proud to wear that. I thank God. I'm honored by that. I'm blessed by that. People have given me, you would not believe the things over all these years, how God's people have given. The Bible made a promise. God said he'll meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But did you know that not once in all these 55 years of preaching has anything fell right out of heaven? And not once. I've not seen any manna come floating down. I hadn't had any miraculous thing where it fell out of the sky. I did find a $5 bill beside the road one day when I was walking. And you know what? You can buy a Cajun filet combo with that. And I thank God for that. I don't know who lost it. If it was yours, too late. It's gone. It's already gone. But do you know how God's blessed me over all these years? Through people. Oh, I couldn't begin to tell you, and I've shared so many stories with you over the years about how God's people have taken care of us. And John, the Lord said in the Gospel of John, he said, the new commandment I give you that you should love one another as I have loved you. God expects us to love the saints of God like he loves us. Isn't that amazing? He loves us sacrificially. He gave his own begotten Son for us. He loves us and he sustains us and he keeps us. You and I ought to love people like that. And here John is imploring people to love the saints of God, to love not just in word or in tongue, but indeed, you are to meet the needs of people. Thank God for that. There's a New Testament principle, of course, and it's in this passage of Scripture, the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 32 to 35. And I won't take time to turn there, but shortly after Pentecost, God blessed. And the Bible says that they had all things together. They loved God. They walked with God. There was great fellowship, and God was added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And the Bible said that many who had possessions sold them and brought them to the apostles, and then they gave to every man as he had need. Now, that wasn't a modern-day welfare program. It was people who had legitimate needs. They were workers, or they were somehow or another physically unable to work or something, but they had legitimate needs, and they met those needs. Not people who were just kind of panhandling or trying to live off the church, but people who had legitimate needs, and they met those needs and helped one another. They were a blessing one to another. And like I said, God's done that for me over all these years. But as I was looking and praying about that, I came across this little statement here. Go back to the book of 1 John, and it kind of jumped off the page at me in verse 17. Whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, shut up bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Look back at a little word there right in the middle of this passage of Scripture, which the whole everything else rotates around it, and it is this word, a brother that has have need. I wondered this morning, what is it that you need? What do you really need? A lot of times I think about things I want, but I don't necessarily need them. He said this, he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God has met every one of your needs to this very point. There's probably been a time in your life where you thought you would absolutely die if you didn't get a certain thing. But you're not dead this morning. You're here this morning. And you thought, I just can't live without this. But you did. Sometimes things have happened in your life. There have been awful circumstances in your life. Maybe you lost a job. The plant closed where you are. They went out of business. And here you were. What in the world are you going to do? But God took care of you. So everybody in this building to this very point in your life has had everything that you could possibly ever need. And God's met that need, and he's promised to do that. But what is it that we need? What do we really, really need? Strangely, I've never had anybody on their deathbed to be concerned about wanting more money. When they were dying, money didn't enter into issue. And so there are some needs that are legitimate, I think, are common to all of us. Look at the little word need this morning. What do I need, and what do you really need? In the first place, I need nearness. If we're going to love people, the word nearness ought to be a part of our life. I was talking to Ernest Jr. there a while ago, and Mr. Ernest moved to Roanoke Rapids, and I can't get down there. Occasionally, we will make contact. They've written to me, send me a Christmas card. We respond, those type of things. You've got friends that you love, but they're not near to you. Many of you've got children that are near to your heart, but they're not near to you physically. But sometimes people get to that point where they just need somebody to be near to them. You need that nearness. You need, and people around you need somebody to be near. Somebody to care. You don't have to have all the answers, but they need somebody to be near them. You and I need to be near the Lord, and we need His nearness. You need to be near the Lord. You need to have that awareness. We have a great need in our heart and life to know that He is with us, that He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. We need that. Many of you have heard me tell the story of our good friend, Brother Avery Rogers. He was our mentor. He was a great man of God from Victoria, Texas. He's a blessing. He's killed in a car wreck. I think he was about 82 years old. He was on his way up to Asheville to Brother Ralph Sexton's Jubilee. And he got killed in a car wreck down in Alabama, I believe, or Georgia. And we were planning on going to camp meeting that year at Ralph's. And so we took our family. And we went, and I can't remember, it seemed like it was one of either my mom or Regina, some of Regina's family. But we went to Asheville, and our youngest son, Avery, is named after Brother Avery. And we left, everybody else at Asheville, and Regina and I drove all the way to Victoria, Texas, South Texas, not far from Mexico, to the funeral. And when we arrived there at the funeral, to Victoria, Texas, they were gathered in viewing the body of Brother Avery. And Regina and I walked right in, and we had Avery with us. I'd never met Ollie, that was his wife, but oh, he told me about her and how wonderful she was and how much they loved one another and served the Lord together all these years. He was a big barrel-chested man, and I kind of had a vision what she looked like, and sure enough, she looked kind of like it when I got there. She was a small, gray-headed lady, very thin, and she stood there by the casket when we walked in, and she turned around and looked. She said, "You must be Billy and Regina, and this is little Avery." And she said, "Come, stand with me." And we went and stood by the casket and just stood near her. And she said, "Can you sense his spirit?" I said, "Miss Rogers, I can." I said, "He put so much into my life and I loved him so much." And she said, "Oh, he loved y'all. He said y'all were very special to him. He loved you so much." And I said, "Miss Rogers, if there's anything in the world I could ever do for you, I want to do it." You know what she said? She said, "Brother Billy," she's 80-something years old. She said, "Brother Billy, I don't need a thing in the world except a closer walk with Jesus. I need to be close to Him. I need His nearness." And my dear friend, everybody in this building needs the nearness of God. You need to be close to Him. He needs to be close to you. Draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. I love that old song, Brad. I was just kind of going over, and I was going to look it up, but "Nearer, My God, to Thee." Some people play that or sing that. They said it was played at the Titanic. It really wasn't, but they think it was. And it's more like a funeral song. But oh, it's not a funeral song. It's an everyday song. "Nearer, My God, to Thee. Nearer, My God, to Thee." I want to be near to Him. I want Him to be close to me. And everybody needs that nearness, the presence of God in our life, the manifest presence of God in our life. You need that nearness to Him, but you need nearness to the house of God. I ask people, "Are you in church?" And they say, "Well, we go every now and then." That's not being near. Try that at work. Amen. Say, "Where do you work at?" "I work down there." "I go down there every now and then." It won't work. Why do you think God established the church? Because He's promised to meet our needs. And in this body of believers, you'll find your needs met. You'll find people who love you and care for you. You need to be near the body of Christ. You need to be near the church. You need to be in the church. I ask people, "Are you in church? Are you in church?" They say, "What I just told you." But when I mean get near the church, I mean you ought to be active and faithful. Get involved in something. Listen, Brother Justin's just made an appeal. We're going to have special emphasis in this coming Sunday school year. And God's got a plan. There are so many families who have special needs children, they can't come and get in church. And all we need is some people who will say, "I'll sit with them during Sunday school. I'll be with them." And Wendy and Justin will teach you what you need to do. You don't have to teach them. Just need to be near them. Be their friend in Sunday school. But that's something you could do. You get in Sunday school, get in the care ministry, get involved, be faithful to the services. Every service, you'll get something. You say, "Well, Brother Billy, I'm so tired on Sunday night." Do you think I ever get tired? I do. You ask my wife. If I sit down, I'll go to sleep. That's why I don't sit down much. There's just too much to do. But my dear friend, I can be tired, and I come in here on Sunday night, and God will revitalize me. The singing and Brad stirs me up, and the choir and the special music and people testifying about the goodness of God. You need nearness to the church. I'm telling you now, in the hour you're living in, you better get tied close to the house of God. You're going to need it. You're going to need God's people. When our little girl Christy died of leukemia, we had got back in church. We were very faithful to Calvary Baptist Church, and they flocked around us. They loved us during those days before the funeral and during the funeral of our little girl and after the funeral of Christy. And I thought to myself then, something I've heard thousands of other people say, I don't know what in the world people do that don't have a church family, that are not connected to the church, that don't have friends like you to be there. I was looking back this morning. I was thinking about Peter. When they came and arrested the Lord, the Bible said he followed afar off. And some of you this morning are following Christ, but you're following afar off. You're not near to him, but you're not near to the church. He loved the church and died for it. I'm telling you, you ought to get in every service. The Bible said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The only reason that God established the church is for the edification of the body of Christ, for strengthening the brethren, and you need to be in the house of God. You ought to make a point to get here every time you can. You ought to resolve right now when we start revival Sunday morning that you're going to be in every one of those services. Not that many services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. And it, just those services, if you'll come, I guarantee you God will do something in your life. Not because of Randy, because of God. You need to be in the church. You need to be near to the body of Christ. You don't need to be a stranger. You need to come in. You need to get involved and be around the house of God and get involved with that. But it says not only did he follow far off, but when Christ got there, the Bible said he stood outside the door. Outside. He was just watching. You know, the church is not a spectator sport. I love the choir. I love the special music. I love every bit of it. And I listen to it, but I get involved in it. I ask God to minister to my heart. And you can't just sit around and stand afar off and look at the church. You need to get involved. You need to get right in the middle of it and serve the Lord and live for God and be faithful to the house of God. Everybody needs to be near to the Lord. Everybody needs to be near to the church, but you need to be near to the saints of God. Can I tell you, I've heard testimony from Brother Gary and Cindy and Brother Luis and Nancy in recent days. You've been here on Wednesday night. And they've been with us for quite a while. They're all very faithful members, love the Lord. But they came to us from other places. They've all been involved in churches, good churches, Bible churches. But they said, we've never been in a church that demonstrated love. Well, listen, he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. You're to love one another. And if we're doing everything else, but we don't have love one for another, we've missed what he wants us to do. We missed the first great commandment. You love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then your neighbor as yourself. He said, I'll give you this commandment. You ought to love the house of God. You ought to love the saints of God. And you ought to be near to them in their sickness. Listen, thank God for the phone tree. And you pray for folk, and that's the way you can do that. I thank the Lord for all the care ministry and Miss Peggy that sends out cards. But every one of us ought to have that closeness. I was talking with Tracy's family, and they've told me about different ones of you who've gone by and different ones who stopped by. That's wonderful. That blesses my heart as a pastor. You be with people in their sickness. Phone call, email, whatever. Just keep up. But you need people to be encouraging to them. Some people have had long illnesses. It took me a long time to figure this out. I almost killed myself physically when I realized I can't be everywhere. And you know what? I think God knew that. That's why he said that pastors have responsibility to preach and teach. He gave some pastors teach for the edification of the body of Christ, for the work of ministry. Do you know, bottom line, what my job is? My job is to preach the Word of God to you for you to do the work of ministry, a body ministry. You minister to one another, love one another, forgive one another, minister to one another. And if you have a church family like that, that ministers to one another, and you need to be near the saints of God in their time of sickness, love them. Make it your point. You say, well, I don't know them. Get to know them. That's a good reason. I don't remember a lot of things. My wife would tell me about things I can't remember. But I do remember this. My pastor, Earl Shotwell, in regard to ministry, he said, don't ever be ashamed to say, I don't know. He said, don't make up something and don't tell people what you think. If they ask you a Bible question you don't know, say, I don't know, but I'll try to find out. And then find out, and you tell them what you found out to be the biblical truth. And so I practice that, and I'm still that way. People ask me now things I don't know. And I won't answer you if I don't know the answer. But isn't that a good principle? If you don't know, find out. If you don't know so-and-so, won't you go meet them? Won't you go shake the hand? and say, I'm so-and-so. I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. And get to know them. Know their family. Know all about them. Know what there's in a... Know them in sickness, but then know them in sorrow. Oh, listen, memories. People remember things. I can remember, I was talking about our little girl, Christy, dying. I remember Regina and I had been, I think we'd been at the funeral home making some arrangements. And when we came back, the house, the yard was full of people. And there was a local pastor, Rudolph Evans, that had been a friend of the family. And when we came up in the yard, he came out of the back, the side door of my in-laws, Regina's mom and dad's house. And he walked down the sidewalk and he met us in the driveway and hugged us and loved us and prayed for us. Here I am. That's a long, long time ago, but I remember that. In times of sorrow, you minister to the people. They need you. They may need us to buy groceries or help them with a light bill, but they need your nearness. They need you to care about them. And we need to love one another. Love demonstrates itself by nearness, being near to them in their time of sickness, being near to them in their time of sorrow. I read this story some time ago and it blessed me, and I know I may repeat myself some this morning, but it so touched my heart. It was a little boy, little neighborhood kids, and they play around. And right next door to that little boy was the meanest man on the block. He'd fuss about everything. He'd fuss about the youngest playing in the yard. He'd fuss about them making noise. He was the meanest fellow you ever seen. And them little kids, they just played, and he'd holler at them, fuss at them, and they'd run off and go somewhere else. And the old man's wife got sick, and she died. And one day, just a day or so after she died, the mama stood at the sink washing dishes. She looked out, and the neighbor's next door, the old meanest man on the block, and he was sitting on a step, and she saw her little boy walk up to him and sit down beside him. And stayed there for some length of time. When the little fella came back in, his eyes were red and he was rubbing his eyes. She said, son, what did you tell that old man? She said, I didn't. He said, I didn't tell him nothing, mama. I just cried with him. And you don't have to tell him anything. Just be with them. They need your nearness. There's people in this building. And there's... I don't know, maybe 250-something people in here this morning, but there's people sitting right in the middle of people in here, and they don't feel a nearness to anybody. People won't ever remember, they won't remember much of what I say, but they never will forget how they're treated. And you need to be near to people. Make it a point to greet them. Love God's family. Be near to them in their time of sickness. Be near to them in their time of sorrow. But be near to them in their time of slipping. David said, my foot had almost slipped. There are people who slip sometime. Sometime they get out of fellowship at the house of God. Sometime things happen in their life. We ought not to gossip about them. We're to love them indeed. We ought to be with them if they get out of the house of God, if they get out of fellowship with God, if they mess up somehow or another. I'm going to tell you, you need to love them. We don't want to participate in any sin they're involved in. But we want to love them. And it bothers me about preachers and church members too, who are more likely to gossip about somebody who messes up than they are to go to them and love them and say, man, listen, but by the grace of God, I can do anything, but I want you to know I love you. In a spirit of humility, the Bible said you go to them. If they get out of fellowship with God, go find them. Because you know what? The Holy Ghost of God is, He loves them, and you know, if you get out of the will of God, anything in the world can happen. Man, listen, when they're in the graveyard over there, backslid on God, get away from God, and they end up dead, you wish you had. You wish you'd loved them and loved them back in the house of God and prayed for them. They need to be near God. Wow. Had a little four-point message, and I got the letter in. People need nearness, near to God. Near the house of God, they need somebody to be near them. But my dear friend, they need encouragement. I mean, you need to encourage people. I'll have to deal with some of this tonight. But you need people to encourage. Paul talked about it. He said, be strong in the Lord. Encourage them. He said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Oh, you know how it blesses me, the people who work so hard Angie and John, their family, and Mitchell and Sylvia, and then I don't know how many, 50 or 75 of you in here who put labels on CDs and all those things. I get to hear all the testimonies. You don't hardly ever get to hear any of them, of people who got blessed and have been blessed and all of that. But oh, listen, I want to encourage you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for keep on going. You ought to encourage people. Encourage people. Oh, it'll mean something, just like that memory. And there's a time when people said an encouraging word to you, and it blessed you, encouraged you. I could testify over and over again in these years of ministry. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But thank God for people who've encouraged me. I mean, encouraged me in my preaching, encouraged me in ministry, and encouraged me when things weren't going right. They encouraged me. I remember a dear man down in Valdosta, Georgia, and just right at the right time, he'd leave a voicemail, and he said, "Brother Billy, this is Benji. I was on my way to work this morning. I want to just tell you I love you. I want you to keep on keeping on for Jesus." I remember distinctly coming in the house right over here where we live out now one day. I told my wife, "I'm tired. I'm fed up. I'm through. I'm going to get me a job at Hardee's." And we sitting there talking. The phone rang. And I answered the phone. And it was a lady. I believe she's in Oklahoma. And she said, "Is this Brother Billy, the highway shepherd?" And I said, "It is." And she broke down and went to crying. And she said, "Listen," she said, "I was going to call you 2 years ago." She said, "But right now we're packing up and we're moving into our first home." So 2 years ago, me and my husband had separated. And he was a trucker. And he picked up a message called "Living and Die with No Regrets." And he listened to it. He pulled off on the shoulder of the road. And he said he wept his way back to God and got right with God. He called me and apologized to me for everything he'd ever done. And he said, "I'll be home Friday. And we're starting all over again." He came back home. And it was just like we started all over again. She said, "For 2 years, we've been like on a honeymoon. It's been awesome. We got in church. We're living for God. And we're now packing up, moving to our first home. We had a little apartment here. We're moving our own home. God's blessed us. We bought a home. And I found your CD. And I remembered I need to call you." And she said, "Whatever you do, don't quit." I hung the phone up. And she said, "What was that?" I said, "That was the Lord." I said, "I think I'm going to tear up my application to Hardee's. I'm not going to quit." Oh, but listen, who needs encouraging? Everybody. And listen, if they have a need for you to encourage them, encourage people. There's enough criticizing going on. Plenty of criticism. But just encourage people. The second E is edify them. It's one thing to encourage them, but you need to build them up. The Word of God says we build them up. Paul said to Peter, he said, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." And the only strength they can get is through spiritual strength. The Word of God, the presence of God, the power of God. You edify people through prayer. You edify people through sharing the truth of the Word of God in their life, speaking truth in their life. Last one, I'm through. What does people need? They need nearness. They need to be encouraged. They need to be edified. But they need a devoted friend. Somebody said in your lifetime, you'll probably not have but five really friends, really good friends. But everybody needs a friend. Everybody needs a devoted friend. I mean a friend. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, God loves us. You need somebody that you know has got your back. Somebody you can share anything with. You need a friend like that. You need a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be a friend to somebody. Be a real friend. Not just a fair weather friend. A friend loveth at all times. I mean, when they're up and when they're down, when they do right, when they do wrong, you're going to be their friend. You won't ever leave them. You won't ever. You're going to be their friend. You're going to be a devoted friend. Why? Because we want to be Christ-like. And that passage said, "There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Brad, come here. I'm going to get you to sing in a minute, but I want you to come here. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wish I could tell you that I've always gone the way of God, but I hadn't. And he's getting all his stuff together. Brad, I'm going to let you be the Lord. Because, amen, this is the Lord. One day I got saved, and I trusted the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll stick closer to you than a brother. And he'd take me this way, and he'd take me that way. But sometime I'd try to go this way. But you know what happened when I went this way? He went with me. But you know what he did? Put your arm around me, my shoulders. He didn't leave me. But he said, we're supposed to went that way, Billy. If we go that way, it's bad. But now we'll go this way. So sometimes I'd want to go this way, and he wouldn't let me, but sometimes he would. But you know what? He wouldn't leave me. He'd just go with me. But all the time he's whispering to me, he'd go this way. And he'd love me back. And he'd take me back. And we'd want. But you know what I found out? Ever since I've been saved, I've been up and I've been down, but he had never left me. You can't leave somebody, won't leave you. Thank you, Brad. You need the nearness of God in your life. Everybody needs encouraging. Everybody needs to be edified and built up. Everybody needs a devoted friend. I trust you've got some in this building, but I can tell you one that can be a friend to everybody in this building. The Rochesters sing a song, He Loves Me Like I Was His Only Child. Brother Eddie Goddard and I have been friends since when we were in school in Tennessee Temple back in the early 70s. You heard Brother Eddie. Many of you had the privilege of knowing Brother Eddie. He was a unique man. Loved the Lord. One of the most giving men I ever known. He was a friend. When I was in the hospital, he called regularly. I don't know how I was doing. He's a good friend. And of course, you know, Brother Eddie got cancer, and I tried to contact him and talked to him. And just, I mean, the day before he died, I talked to him. And then his wife asked me if I'd come and be one of the pallbearers. And I went up there to the church he used to pastor in Soar Valley, West Virginia. And when I went up there, Rainier, West Virginia, a bunch of people there. And you know, preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher, and people stood up, and they said Eddie Goddard was my best friend. And I said, that can't be. Eddie is my best friend. But I found out he was. But you know what? Jesus will be your best friend. He won't ever leave you or forsake you. You need to know him today. Would you stand with your heads bowed, Brother Brad? As the Lord leads you, brother, I want you to sing or whatever. Can I ask you a question? We all got needs. Every one of us. I believe, like Ms. Ava Rogers said, Ms. Ollie Rogers, I don't need a thing in the world but a closer walk with Jesus. I need to be near to Him. I wonder how many of you are just as close as you want to be. How many are just as close as you think you need to be? If you're not, I want to encourage you this morning. Come get around this old altar. That's what revival is all about. It's getting near Him. Getting near Him. Oh, He won't ever leave you or forsake you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But you can't have real sweet fellowship because we are in rebellion. But He loves us. He won't leave us. But my dear friend, we can get closer to Him. As we look forward to revival, I want to encourage you this morning. Come get around this altar. How about your nearness to the church? Are you involved in the ministers of the church? Are you involved in the activities of the church? Are you a part? Or are you a spectator standing afar off or standing outside the door looking in? There's things to do. Every person's got things they can do. I thank the Lord we've got folk who've been visiting. They've been inviting other people, been telling other people about the church. You and I need to be excited about what God's doing and invite folks, bring them. How about your nearness to the saints of God that you walk in and out and don't have any connection with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? People will love you. People will minister to you. You need to love them, minister them, get close to the church, get close to your brothers. Are you encouraging people or discouraging them? Are you edifying or tearing them down? Are you being a devoted friend like Jesus? If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, He's the best friend you'll ever have. He'll love you in good times and bad. He'll never ever leave you, forsake you. You've not sinned so much He won't take you in. He'll love you. And right now, regardless of who you are, what you've done, He loved you and He died for you, and He'll save you right now if you'll call on Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You right now, oh God, for all You've done for me. Thank You that You've been with me. You never have left me or forsaken me. Often I've wanted to go the wrong way. I went the wrong way, but God, You didn't leave me. You loved me back to You. Got me right on the right path. God, I pray some folk could get on the right path this morning. I pray we'd have real revival. I pray, God, for a special outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God on this church, that we'd see real revival. The building be filled to overflowing and souls would be saved. And God, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl in the building this morning not saved, I pray they'd trust Christ right now. And we'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, many around the altar already, I invite you to stand. And while you're standing, just come right on, get around this altar right now. Brad's going to sing a verse. You come on right now. Come on right now.